He's kind of hot though. Like Stav's a, when I first saw him, I thought, wow, I always wondered what my Jenny Craig after photo would look like. Because if I hit the gym and probably, you know, stopped drinking and shed 20 kilos, I could look like him. And that's what I, that's the first thing that came to mind.
And then maybe you could start dating Elle.
Look, dreams do come true. Yeah.
You're listening to Behind the Bays. I'm Star.
I'm Lockie Mack.
And we are joined by the villain of Byron Bays. He is in the studio here with us today, Alex Reed. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, it took me a while to work out what you guys are doing in here.
Why is that? What was confusing?
Well, I had no idea until Sarah messaged me one day saying, hey, I'm coming down to your office. And I'm like, cool, babe, what for?
Yeah, your actual office is literally a few doors down from where we've been. So you just haven't even noticed us.
No, I haven't. I always wonder what was going on in here and see you coming in ridiculous outfits.
Speaking of outfits, because we are celebrating the final episode of Byron Bays today, we have gone all out. We are just emulating Byron energy today. We're in all white linen and we've got our sunnies on inside. And that's actually drawing on you.
Really?
Because I feel like sunnies on inside is a bit of a power move, right, Lockie?
Yeah, it's like people can't see where you're looking and I think it just forces them to, you know, they become the inferior part of the conversation.
Is this like your power move against me?
Yeah. You don't know if I'm
looking. It hasn't worked.
You
don't know if,
I think it's working. I think you're lying to yourself and I think it's working perfectly.
I mean, this amount of linen though is giving me like a PTSD from every single day I filmed in Byron Bay.
Mm.
How do you feel wearing linen? Do you feel Byron-ish?
I feel like I want to punch myself in the face.
Well, can I do it for you?
No.
Because, you know, with those sunglasses, you're pretty punchable.
It's been requested many times on the podcast for someone to do it. I would have thought it would have been Nathan first, but Alex has gotten in with the first one. So I'll allow that. But we never saw you get into the linen vibe very much.
Well, look, I don't know what was going through my wardrobe at that time, but I really obviously didn't meet a Ralph Lauren shirt I didn't like because that's all I seemed to wear that entire show. And I was watching it back going, I swear I wore something else. But every scene, I'm in something like, what am I doing? I'm wearing a suit jacket and a button-up shirt and fucking Byron Bay.
Were you trying to kick off your influencer career after the show maybe? Get like a Ralph Lauren spawn or something?
Yeah, I'm going straight over the protein balls and the fake tan and I'm going straight to Ralph Lauren.
Well, let's ease up on the fake tan because your best friend's already done that. He's already conquered that world. Obviously, Jade launched his fake tan, so you might be stepping on his toes a little bit, which I know you hate doing.
I'm all about being non-confrontational.
You're very, like when I look at you and Kai, half the time I was getting you two confused because your personality is so similar. I'm like, they're both just so chill.
Both potentially international models too.
Yeah,
that could obviously be what was throwing you in the first place.
Mm-hmm. What kind of brands have you worked with in your international modeling career?
We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
So to kick off this episode, we want to play a little game of most likely to. So we're going to run through some scenarios and you're going to tell us which one of the bays would be most likely to.
You go also this, what if I don't remember their names? Because that's also a high possibility.
We'll jog your
memory. Can I describe them if I don't remember the names?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, absolutely.
Cool. Okay, cool.
All right. Most likely to get cancelled.
Me.
Yeah, that's what we said as well.
Yeah, we did say that.
Yeah, well, we asked Sarah and Sarah was like, oh, I'm not sure. And then like within a millisecond of each other, we're like, Alex Reed.
Well, look, that's the most important part, right? Like you got to be out there.
You just don't give a fuck, do you?
No, darling. I mean, it doesn't take you 8 episodes to work that out, does it?
How quickly into the episodes did you think, fuck this?
So the way it worked is they were very secretive about who was coming on the show. Like I had a vague idea from stuff I'd read in the media about who was going to be on it. And already I was like, oh shit, this is going to be hell. The first day I filmed was with Sarah, meeting Sarah at my office up in Byron. And then I think that night I was going to Hannah's party and they sort of staged everyone walking into the party for the first time and they kind of held you outside like they marshaled you so that you had your walk-ups and Sarah and I did our walk-up together. It was very The Bachelor. And then I got inside and I said hi to Hannah. And I was like, whoa, shit. And then I had a look around and it was Nathan and Elias and everyone was kind of like, you know, chatting away. And I just looked at them and I was like, I had a conversation with Nathan and it was like talking to a brick wall.
What was the conversation about?
It was that memorable. I don't remember, but it was about what we did for work. And it just went nowhere. And I just was like, right, okay, this is going to be a really challenging 4 months.
What did he describe as his occupation?
He described his occupation as a entrepreneur.
Flag. Red flag. Yeah. Massive red flag.
Unemployed, sure.
Entrepreneur and worked in digital marketing. And obviously that's something I do. So yeah. I thought we had a bit of common ground there, but he did a different style of it. But so
you guys have something in common. I thought you guys hit it off pretty well.
Yeah.
Like a couple of peas in a pod.
No, Dal.
Like when I saw you guys, I thought that's the boys right there.
Yeah, the boys.
The boys. Alex and Nathan. Nalix, we called you.
So when I met them, though, I was looking around and I had a massive dummy spit. don't want to do this show. Get me off. I'm going home. Call me a fucking Uber. I'm out of here.
Was that after the Handmaid's Tale comment?
This is like basically just before the Handmaid's Tale. So when you see me walking out in episode one because of the bowl cleanse, like that's not scripted or that's not fake. Like that was actually me leaving Byron Bay's The Show.
Really?
I was done. And it got to the point, it was kind of funny because, you know, I work on reality TV shows but obviously not as talent. And I walked off and I had all these PAs, like production assistants, running after going, Alex is walking off set, Alex is walking off set. And I was like, yeah, I am, but I'm done. Like I want out of this thing. I don't want to do the show.
And how did they convince you to stay?
Well... this thing got a contract, for one. But secondly, they kind of explained to me what my role was on this show. Like it wasn't to be one of them. It was to be observational and to represent all the people who come to Byron and think the lifestyle is either A, funny or B, interesting, to kind of represent that and be the audience's take on it. And then I kind of calmed down. I was like, all right, so I'm never going to be really friends with these people. I'm never actually going to go out of my way to be their friend. We're not going to be hanging out off camera. Like that's never going to happen. So right. I don't want it to feel like I'm trying to fake that because like you've seen 8 episodes of it. Like I don't fake anything. Well, and
there's a few people who are allegedly fake on the show and you're not one of them. Thanks, that's for sure.
It's a low bar. But I was like, okay, cool. Well, if that's what my role is going to be on this show, I'll stick around. I'll see it through. But there's also a part of it where I had to kind of get over myself because I walked in, everyone's in white linen, just like you two. And they're doing a bowl cleanse and everyone's, you know, talking about just absolute stuff that I could not give two flying fucks about.
You don't care about bowl ceremonies?
No, I don't. A bowel cleansing, maybe.
A bowel cleansing?
I had a couple of those. But like I was looking going, oh my God, I want to kill myself being here. But I also had to get over it because I'm a guest in their world and they're inviting me into what Byron's like and showing the audience what it's like. Kind of to get over myself and go, okay, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to put some effort into this and actually – try.
Is that actually what their world is like though? Or are they putting it on for the cameras?
No, that's what's frightening about it. Like they really believe that, like they, not really believe, like they, their lives revolve around, you know, crystals and ceremonial cacao. And to be honest, when I look at it all, I just see like one big spiritual dick measuring competition. Like everyone's trying to out spiritual themselves.
Who had the largest spiritual dick?
I think Hannah does, Hannah? But then Elle was slapping it right up against it. Oh, like with the ruler going, nah, I am just as big as you.
Spiritual hammer. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of that going on. And I think it's everyone tries to outdo themselves with their spirituality and how much they're invested in. You know, Hannah was calling out Elle for not being spiritual and the other way around. It's like, if you're spiritual, isn't that kind of something you do yourself, though?
Yeah.
Not sort of, you know, checking over to see what your neighbor's doing.
Prime example of that is King Simba. Like, he's obviously super spiritual, but he kind of just does his own thing. He's got his ceremonial cacao. He's happy to play amongst himself.
He's like true to what he is. Like, he's what he is. Like, an off camera and on camera, he is the most consistent with. As Kai, so is Kai. Those two are exactly the same on and off camera.
Okay, who was the most different on camera versus off?
I think Elias was. Like, really? Elias comes across really brooding and, you know.
Sad boy.
Sad boy.
Yeah.
You know, very hot cool. Sad boy vibes. But in real life, he's actually quite fun. Like, out of the whole cast, the entire Bay's cast, I talk to him and I talk to Sarah and occasionally Kai. And they're kind of the only people that I really interact with because they, to me, were the most interesting. But the way Elias was on camera was he was very, like, yeah, sad boy.
Yeah.
Missing out. You know, downtrodden, but in real life, he's got a bit more of a personality.
And why do you think that was?
No, I just think it was, you know, some people want cameras on them, they change. You know, yeah. like this get whether they're uncomfortable or whether they just have something else to project or it just doesn't fit with the storyline. I think that's him. Like, he's actually really fun. I got a lot of time for Elias. Obviously, people mistake us for, you know, our physical attributes and stuff like that.
He's got the 8-pack, you have the 6-pack, you know, get them confused. That was the longest answer to who's most likely to get cancelled.
Yeah, wow.
Well, don't have anything scheduled after this because, you know, I've got nothing else to do.
So in podcasting, we like to keep it nice and concise. So yeah. I know this is your first time.
Yeah. In my studio that I own.
Great studio, by the way.
Who paid for these microphones?
Great.
You think you're looking at it,
though. Now that you're here, mine keeps actually moving up and down.
The only reason I brought that up is because I hope this whole podcast is like some Putin-level propaganda shit for me. Like, if I'm going to listen back to these 8 episodes and if you guys are ragging on me, like...
We're getting dropped.
Actually, do that. Do we have any, like... What has this podcast done? You're at 8 episodes now, right? Like... You're getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What numbers? Hang on. Producer Fenella, can I see some stats?
Let's check the KPIs. Fuck.
Well, I'm going to check and see what this. Roasted. Yeah, you are. Actually.
I've never been fired on camera. This is going
to
be sick.
All right. Let's get back to most likely to. Okay. So we've done most likely to get cancelled. Most likely to join a pyramid scheme.
L.
She might already be in one, actually.
Okay. Most likely to start a pyramid scheme.
L.
Okay, cool.
She's convincing.
Is she? I mean, well, she got Stav.
Well,
she convinced him to turn her into a fucking mermaid statue.
Whoa.
What do you think with the first time you saw that?
The mermaid statue? Yeah. I wanted to push it in the pool. When? I just had this urge to accidentally knock it and watch it crash into the pool. I just can't explain what, like, the
intrusive
6-year-old
thoughts.
In me, I just wanted to absolutely destroy that statue because I'm evil.
Yeah, well, was there anyone else in the cast who you were just, because you guys stood by a lot of bodies of water. Was there anyone where you just thought, just one shove and they're in, ruin their entire outfit?
Maybe.
You can say it.
There's a couple. At one stage, I think I wanted to push the entire cast in the pool.
Mm.
That would be, entire cast first. I mean, everyone kind of annoyed me at one stage of the production, but I kind of, like, to the end of it, like, I saw them for what they were. And I don't know, I think if anyone's been pushed in the pool by a cast, it's going to be them pushing me in the pool, darling. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
All right. Most likely to send a drunk you up message.
Nathan.
Did
good
he?
Fuck
he,
boy.
Did he do that ever?
No, never to me, darling.
Never to you.
I check my logs.
Yeah.
Not a message.
Most likely to go into the toilet together at a party.
Oh,
going a bit red over there, mate.
Just thinking of the consequences of the response to that question and whether it's worth the lawsuit. I'd say maybe like Saskia and Hannah or Saskia and Elle because they were very close.
Yeah.
You know, I could see them, you know, wing together.
Well, girls move in groups just for protection. That's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't often am at a club with the boys and just think, hey, man, can you come stand behind me while I pee just for protection? So, you know, it's nice to see them sticking together at least.
I've never understood that. Like, what happens in those bathrooms?
Oh, so much.
As a female in the room.
You make all of these ridiculous plans that you never follow through with. You'll meet someone in the bathroom and be like, oh my God, babe, I love your dress. Usually someone's crying because someone's done something fucked to them, a boy. And you're like, no, you're a queen. You're so much better than him. And then you're like, let's go to the aquarium tomorrow. And you never speak to them again.
So that's basically like the whole premise of Byron Bay's.
Yeah, actually.
Nightclub bathroom.
Yeah, I believe the concept was actually, discovered in...
Yeah, because it makes sense. Everything you said sounds like the synopsis from episodes 1 to 8.
I also just wanted to read this out because we get thousands of bits of fan mail.
Oh, calm down.
People from all around the world. People like, guys, can you please? And people...
Stop doing this podcast. Yeah.
Guys, please for fuck's sake. We have a fan message here. We just wanted to get your response to it. This is from Jade K from the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks, what the fuck's your problem?
Oh,
we've just paraphrased that, but
yeah, just want whatever your thoughts about that are.
Mm. I think this is the podcasting genius that has obviously kept you guys going for 8 episodes is content like this. This is obviously the key to your success. Yeah, gags that land.
Yeah.
Can we get like a little boom tish sound effect for that one, Lucky?
I'll just add it in post. It's fine.
All right, so let's go over what your character development was. What was your storyline in the show? You were brought in to be this observer, as you described.
Well, like for Byron Bay, for me, I've lived up there on and off for years. And in 2020, I was up there for like a year and a half, like, well, up until now, really. So I think I represent everyone else who's just come to Byron, whether they're like people who've retired up there. Yes, I fall into that category according to people on Twitter. but representing the outsider. So for me, I went up to Byron to see what the hype was about. Like, it's obviously an influencer paradise. It's very photogenic place. It attracts a lot of people. I went up there to see, okay, what are these people? Like, who are these people? Like, are they any talent? Like, are they people I want to work with? Like, that's how I went to Byron and thought, okay, I'm going to see what's up here. And that was my journey on the show. And that was my journey in real life too. So for the show, they obviously brought in Sarah as someone who fits that mold, I guess, and fits that criteria of someone who's looking to work in creatively but lives in Byron. So that's what I wanted to do. I think I went in very open-minded. Towards the end, that mind was pretty closed.
Yeah.
snapshot. Mm-hmm. But my journey, like, it was getting over myself and learning there is other ways of living and not to judge people so quickly, because that is something I do. I make a decision on who a person is and then good luck prying that out of me, because it's like rock solid. And this show really challenged me to actually give a shit about people and to not judge based on the first 3 seconds. Like, towards the end, like, I liked Hannah. I thought she was funny. I got along with everyone except one person probably.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jade, like, towards it, like, I wanted to make an effort to kind of like mend the relationship. It was my suggestion to go around to his place and actually have a conversation about it, because Byron, and oh God, it's like I'm doing a master interview on the show. Byron's a small place. but I didn't want that anxiety being around him, and it made me feel anxious being around him because he is temperamental. Mm. Like, he is all over the place, and he was very angry with the whole interaction. So I wanted to kind of mend the fence. Whether it worked or not, who knows?
There's no way to make amends other than a bottle of Grey Goose, right? Yeah. Is that your usual go-to?
Alcohol dump or cash.
When you dropped it off, you said, let's get fucked up. Did you guys end up getting fucked up?
No.
No? Did you just sit there drinking in front of him, get fucked up by yourself?
Thought about it.
Was there anything that we didn't see off camera from that interaction when you guys were making amends?
Punch on.
Yeah, just small fisticuffs.
Make me a car park.
Just a bit of a brouhaha amongst the boys.
No, it was all pretty much there. The guts of it was there. It was me trying to say to him, I understand why you feel that way. I said, like, but, you know, your reaction to my question was really full on, and there's actually a million different ways you could have answered that instead of the way you responded to it. But happy to move on with our life and, you know, just, you know, coexist in this place. I go on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was all in there. Like, I said what I wanted to with him. I think he was a bit shocked by it, and I don't think he thought I was coming from a genuine place. I think that's what he had to reconcile, is that I actually was going to his house going, all right, I'm over this. Like, I'm over, you know, the side eyes at the parties and, mm-hmm. you know, feeling tension. Like, I just want to move on. But I don't know if he was ready for that.
Well, I'm glad that it was lovely to see this mature moment. This is coming from a 21-year-old speaking to you. It's really nice to see you being mature, and you said you
thanks,
moved.
Dad.
No problem. We'll go play catch later. You went and moved on from this, like, fracas. And I was like, it's great. He's going to be staying out of the drama. And then an episode later, probably my favorite moment from the show, at the beach, chatting to Jess. Hey, did Elle call Sarah fake? And she goes, yeah. And then Elle turns up to the beach and you guys are in a three. And you say to Elle, hey, did you call Sarah fake? And Elle goes, no. You turn to Jess and just go, oh, well, she said you did. See you later. And you walked away and I was bloody cheering from the comfort of my room. What was the feeling like in that moment? Because that must have been a victory.
My first thought was to call TV Week and ask them to add a Logie category into the Logies for this year, of best seen a reality show on a beach,
mm-hmm.
And then nominate myself for it.
Yeah.
Because that was one of my favorite moments.
Oh, the power that you must have felt in that moment. That is like a mic drop moment.
Well, the thing for me, right, like, on the show, I have a real job. Like, I really have something to do. So a lot of the time when we were filming, I wasn't kind of hanging around with everyone, like, just, you know, conversing. Like, unless there was a camera on or I had something to do, like, I was off on the phone or doing stuff. So that scene was very concentrated. Like, I knew what I wanted to say, because I knew Jess knew this whole elaborate story about what Elle had said. And I was like, oh, this would be the moment to get it out of them. And I saw the opportunity. I was like, all right, I'm going to dig the knife in here, because I've got a Google Hangout to get to in about 6 minutes. So I really need to nail this, because I've got shit to do. but it was kind of like the conclusion. Like, I felt like on this show there were so many of the cast, I kind of wanted to stand there and scream at them and go, do you realize we're on a fucking reality show? Do the cameras not give it away? In fact, they did say that on one episode because they just didn't get it. And I think that, you know, when you say something on a reality show and then deny it for three episodes, someone's just going to roll the tape, Dale, if you're saying it.
Yeah, we said that a lot of times. It was recorded, and the amount of times she just said, no, I'm like, you know this is coming out in a show. And the person I felt most sorry about, like, for that was Stav. The amount of times Stav had just, like, shit talked about him, and then I was just like, and they're like, just no one tell Stav. No one. Look to your left. There's a fucking camera and a boom mic picking up everything you're saying. Stav's going to see this when the show comes out. But, you know, great. They got their happy ending, which we'll talk about in a little bit from the episode. Yeah,
the real victim of this show is the post-production producers having to go through all that footage.
So when you say when you go to the beach party, do the producers brief you at all on the scene?
Or no,
they just rock up opposite. And you're like, here, have a drink and just...
Complete opposite. Like, they just go, this is, you're all getting together. Obviously someone's booked. They've usually been invited through, you know, one of the scenes you've filmed. And, you know, you go, like, it weirdly it does really mirror real life. Like, you don't get there's no, like, producer in your ear telling you what to say or anything like that. You're basically just thrown into situations as you would in any normal social circumstance. But I kind of had my own little agenda going on because I was getting annoyed with a lot of the cast. And I was getting annoyed with everyone speaking in roundabouts and not actually getting to the point. That really started to annoy me. And I was like, oh, I'm so over this. You call it a fake. Just admit it. Move on. Why not? Like, I just think that you can, as the episodes got on, I could see how my tolerance was getting lower and lower and lower for these people. And I was just getting frustrated.
Well, I think when your breaking point happens in the very first scene and you tried to walk off the show at that point, it's probably not a good sign for the rest of the season.
Weirdo didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. But my one question is, obviously the way you were framed, at least from our perspective, was definitely the villain early on. We got to see you're welcome. We got to see a bit of a softer side of you as, you know, built up this relationship with Sarah. And we see you just a big cuddly teddy bear.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
You're a big softy. So I just wanted to ask, your portrayal on the show, did you feel like it was authentic to you, or do you reckon they skewed it a little bit to make you look a bit more evil than what you like already are, obviously?
I am pretty evil as it is. I think if anything, they made me nicer.
Oh, okay.
Probably toned down the mole factor on me a couple of times. I'm a mole factor 10. No, it is kind of like, and to be honest, it does actually show my journey on the show. Started out, hated everyone, hated everything. This sucks.
Great.
You know, big hissy fit. By the end of it, like, I am friends with Sarah. Like, I do see her. We hang out. Like, we talk all the time. I didn't expect to actually make a friend on that show. And when she walked into my office with her 600-kilo keyboard, I was like, oh, God. No, my first thought was, oh, great, a musician, my favorite kind of talent.
Mm.
And then I actually became friends with her. So when she left and, you know, in the moment, right, when she's going – what was making me sad was having to go to that party without her. Like, that's actually where I was going, oh, shit, I've got to rock up in my own Kia Carnival now. Got no friends sitting next to me. I've got to do my walk-ups on my own. Who am I going to give the aren't these people crazy look to? Like, the crazy people themselves? Like, that doesn't work.
Wait.
But that was upsetting me.
So you said that your beef with Jade gave you a bit of anxiety. Was there anything on the show that you regret saying?
Nothing at all. Like, everything. So I made a pledge to myself because Donna Harper, like, you know, own a production company, so I know how reality shows are made. The one thing I said to myself was, you're not going to have anything to drink on this show because I'm already painful sober. Give me a couple of drinks. Like, I am, like, you know, you've been out with me drinking before. Like, it's like another level of awfulness, and thanks for signing that NDA. So I made the pledge, I'm not going to drink on the show. So everything I said, I was stone cold sober for every single episode, every single piece of filming, every frame of filming. But the cast were obviously off tits, which made it very easy because I could just be myself. And then when someone's coming at you and the eyes are going everywhere and you can tell they've had a few to drink, it doesn't take much to cut them down.
Mm.
Who enjoyed like the red cordials the most on set?
They all did.
They all did?
But also, like, I get it. You're there for like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, you've got to kind of go through all this stuff when you're doing these events. Like, it's very structured and there's nothing to do but drink. So, like, I get it. Like, if I didn't have that little, you know, pledge to myself, I would have been, you know, making out with the mermaid in the pool probably.
So who makes the best reality TV talent out of all the bays in the show?
I think Jade does, to be honest. Controversial. He's just really funny, and I think he's put himself out there as a character on this show, and he is entertaining to watch. Like, whether you like him or dislike him, he's entertaining to watch. Like, his naivety is cute. Like, the way when, you know, Elle says about the coral bleaching, and he's like, are they pouring bleach on the coral? Like, it's funny. Like, it's very endearing to him. So I think he's actually quite entertaining as talent to watch on a show.
And I think that the fact that he's the largest male influencer in Australia, it seems weird that you haven't pursued it further, because he made the claim that you had tried to sign him a long time ago.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Well, obviously when he said it, because on the show I said, well, I just don't think that's true. And the reason I wasn't like 100% certain is, like, you know, 5 years ago I would have managed a ham sandwich into a paper bag. So, you know, there's probably an email that was sent. But the second question would have been, well, what are your stats and where's your audience? So
Turkey.
Bit of a non-starter.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was just it was interesting that's where his mind went. Because for me it was like, I think so.
I mean, we could do a Hillary Clinton and get you to release your emails.
Oh, just look a lot them. Of scoupon deals, a lot of finish ball tablets. That's basically what's in my email. Nothing that interesting.
All right, so let's get back to the episode. We open the final ep of Byron Bays with you and Sarah having a bit of a chit-chat. This happens a couple of times over the whole series. I feel like you're definitely her rock and her go-to person in
the
bay.
I'm her quartz crystal.
Yeah, that's been charged up by the moon. It was a full moon over the weekend.
We've heard these chats between you two, and Sarah's spoken about, you know, how much she misses the Gold Coast. She's went up there midway through the season, spoken to her mum, who's my favourite character, and she's now getting to the point where it's becoming real. And in that conversation, she was obviously very heartbroken, like, as her friend. I remember my favourite part of you consoling her, the first time she cried in front of you, you told her, "You're too pretty to cry," which I thought was really great.
And
then,
what a
then the second time she cried, your beautiful advice at first was, "Hey, hey, don't cry." Very demanding. Did that sort of consolation work on her?
Well, she's cried once. You got a compliment. I mean, cry again, Dale. You know, good luck to you.
You're just fucking pushing at this point.
I was nice once, okay?
Yeah, suck it
strike
up.
Strike it off. You know, everyone makes fun of the whole going back to the Gold Coast. It's only 45 minutes away, blah, blah, blah. During filming, it was COVID, so the borders were shut. So it's going to the Gold Coast was a big deal, because you had to have all these documents and stuff to going. So kind of while it does sound ridiculous for some Australians to go, she's going to Byron Bay to the Gold Coast, it's 50 minutes. Well, during filming it was like you couldn't just cross, you couldn't just drive over.
Yeah.
So that was the only weight to that, I guess, you know, going home argument. But yeah, you know, I just think of the whole thing. There was a lot of the show's real. Like, the girls were being mean to her on and off camera.
Off camera?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Just the stuff they were saying about how she was fake and didn't really fit in. They were all having their own little, like, groups that they'd hang out with and do stuff, and they would never include her in those.
Do you think that stemmed from the fact that she, like, was chatting up with Nathan from early on, or was it just, like, she never connected with the girls in the first place?
I don't think she connected with them. I think she's connected with them now, but during filming, it, like, during the, like, the production period, she wasn't really, like, hanging out with them and doing stuff, kept to herself. Like, I saw her a couple of times, but it wasn't, it's like, it's hard to break, oh my God, I sound like I'm doing a MIV again. It's hard to break into the really tight-knit group from Byron Bay, but it is. Like, those, like, Hannah and Nathan, obviously, and Stav lived together. They were friends with Elias and Hannah. Like, they were already friends before, like, the show. So that was the circle, and, you know, Sarah was on the outer, and she was always perceived to be the Gold Coast person, which is funny because Jade is basically like a meter maid.
Yeah.
He's that Gold Coast.
We know what that is now, because Sarah told us when she was here.
She explained that to me, and now I am wiser, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, it just seemed really nasty. Like, everybody knew they were going to be in this bubble together for the next 4 months or whatever. It's like, just suck it up and be nice to each other, but also don't, because it makes good reality TV.
Duh.
So back to Nathan and Sarah. Do you ship them as a couple?
No.
No?
No. I don't know. Like, during, as you guys have seen, I go to Nathan's house and say, hey, you kind of need to stand up for Sarah, because if you don't, she's going to go. And that was real. Like, there was a time where everyone was talking shit about Sarah on and off camera, and he just kind of was like a Labrador, just going, oh, yeah, no, you'd be right. And like, well, no, it's not. Like, if you're actually interested in her, then put the effort in and be a G for her. And like, oh my God, I sound like Kai.
Like you said, what a G.
I know. Like, but stand up for her and, like, you know, say something. Like, you live with Elle and she's talking shit about Sarah, say something.
Well, maybe he's just trying to please everyone, because in the very first episode, he introduced himself as a people person, which I explained was not that great of a compliment for himself. It just means he's around people. It doesn't necessarily mean they enjoy the company. Like, if you go to the Easter show and you're surrounded by thousands of people, you can't sit there and be like, well, I'm a people person, so this is natural.
Thought I was a mole, but you really take the cake.
That's fine. I was going to ask if we can FaceTime Nathan at any point, if he wants to say hello.
Like, I have his number.
You don't have his number?
No.
Well, is there like a, have you kept in contact? Is there a chat? Do you guys still talk?
Oh, there was a group chat on the bar of all the cast.
Mm-hmm. There was?
Yeah, but I left it.
Did you get kicked out or?
I stormed out of it like I did episode one. Just did a dramatic leave.
Consistent king. We
I'm
love
Alex
it.
Reed has left the chat.
Okay, so if Nathan and Sarah were a bit, is there anyone else that you'd pair Sarah with out of the bays?
Kai.
Oh, we love Kai.
I would ship that.
How tall is he? Because in some episodes he looks 4'11", and in other ones he looks 6'2".
Don't take this wrong way. He's taller than you.
Yeah, Lockie's a short king.
He's taller than, so he's over 6'3". Okay.
No, he's over 5'4". No.
Fuck.
He's taller than me. Kai's quite tall. He's a very good looking guy. Also, Kai has like a lot of sexual chemistry with everyone.
Really?
Yeah, he's just a very like open, fun guy.
Yeah, we love Kai because he responded to our Instagram story as well. Oh my God, so like we actually have a bit of sexual tension with him as well.
Oh my God, you guys have got a really low bar for friendship in here.
Thank you. Can we ask, was there any, because obviously we see the on-screen romances, was there anything flourishing off-screen that we didn't see, or you thought there was a little bit of will they, won't they, but it never actually occurred?
I thought Sarah and Kai.
Really? There was a little bit there?
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Okay. Interesting.
No, nothing from you guys?
I never saw that, but that's interesting.
I don't know. I always thought that there was like, I always thought that something would go on, and I was always waiting for like Sarah to tell me that something happened with her and Kai, and I was like, oh.
Do you think she was drawn in by the fact that he's a grown man with a slip and slide in his backyard, or like that in his spare time he tattoos dead pig skins?
I think both of those are things that you'd put on a Hinge bio.
Yeah. The slip and slide definitely gives big dick energy.
Yeah, it's big Hannibal Lecter vibes.
Yeah.
The slip and slide?
Yeah.
Or the pig skin?
Well, he has to get rid of the body somehow, so you just chuck down the slip and slide straight into the Byron Woods and no one's going to find it ever again.
All right, so let's actually go to Nathan's famous party now. We are here.
Did they ever call it, because there was like an LED sign called FabFest or something?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, because Nathan Favreau, but they didn't really give much attention to it, if anything at all. They just kind of showed it.
Yeah. Did they talk about the tequila? Obviously, at this stage, I'm fast forwarding to my parts. Mm. Did they talk about his tequila on the show?
No.
Oh, poor Dale.
He has a tequila?
Yeah, that was what he was launching.
Oh, well, that was not brought up.
No, it was framed as it was like a
sad boy.
Yeah, sad boy party for Sarah.
No, it was meant to be the launch of his tequila, and like everyone's getting smashed on mugs. Frimmy got up on the bar and was like throwing tequila around. Like it was obviously I was doing a Google Hangout call with a client around the corner hiding from everyone, but cool I heard kid. It was fun.
Yeah.
Fuck, sorry, Nate.
Rip tequila.
I just like watching him, like the very first shot of him at his event, and he's got his fucking Bob the Builder tool belt around him and he's wearing a flannel and he just happens to be coming down the ladder at that very point. He's just finished setting up. I'm like, he didn't set up shit. They told you to stand at the top of the ladder till Kai got there, and then someone yelled at him, Kai's here. He's like, oh, geez, what a sweat I've built up.
Can like, someone spot me down the ladder?
Yes, he didn't set any of that up.
Hope he had 3 contact points.
Okay, so at the party, Elle literally says this, I'm actually just a big cuddly teddy bear that just wants to hug everyone and share my light. True or false?
Well, I don't know what show she thought she was on because that didn't come across.
She didn't share her light with you at all?
No.
Oh.
What did she share?
Oh, a very, very stern look through some big glasses at the beach. Which I was like, wow, I've always wondered what daggers felt like to have thrown at you through glasses. And I'm like, this is it. I thought, her face isn't moving. I don't know if she's going to launch and attack me or cry. Either of those I would have been happy with.
I think she gets a bad rap because someone said this. They said that she is one of the most generous, loving, open-hearted people that they know.
Is that someone, Elle?
To be fair, Elle did say that about herself. And she also followed up with, if someone dishonors me, I wouldn't want to be them. Like, she had a lot of very threatening quotes. Like, if you fuck me, I know Nathan said that if you try to fuck her, she'll fuck you 10 times harder. First of all, weird phrasing. Scary. But I just did. It was a weird thing of like, she lied, then everyone got mad at her. And then by the end of it, she got engaged and that was just like her storyline. Did you see that coming, the engagement?
Hell no.
Yeah, that was fucking random. And when Stav is like doing his proposal to her, he's like, I love you. And she's like, okay.
You're so cute.
You're so cute. Is that not the biggest slap in the face? Like, love
I don't know.
You.
Like,
thanks.
No one's proposed to me anytime, right? Lately. So I don't really know the.
Lately?
Lately. But yeah, didn't think saying you're so cute's the most romantic thing to say back to them. But you know, mate, she's in the heat of the moment. Cameras are on her.
Yeah.
He's on one knee, which probably just standing because he's quite short. yeah, asking her to marry him.
So you've seen them IRL. Do they have chemistry between them?
Well, not really. I don't know. I never got them as a couple. They like, did cutesy things together. And I get that, like, I guess career-wise it lines up. Like she's all in, she's raising money for, you know, causes and
she's saving the world, as she says.
Yeah, yes. And he's got this product, which is, you know, I get how they've got common interests, but like wasn't really like a storyline seeing the chemistry. And I think poor old Stav was made to look like he was just the plus one.
Bit
on
of a dunce.
Yeah, bit of a, yeah, it was.
He's kind of hot though. Like Stav's when I first saw him, I thought, wow, I always wondered what my Jenny Craig after photo would look like. Because if I hit the gym and probably, you know, stopped drinking and shed 20 kilos, I could look like him. And that's what that's the first thing that came to mind.
And then maybe you could start dating Elle.
Look, dreams do come true. Yeah.
Okay, so what about Elle and Nath? Did they have any chemistry?
Totally.
Were they a bit cheeky?
Well, it's hard. It was like, you know, that like that Instagram account, Siblings or Dating.
Yeah.
Like there's kind of a bit of that vibe going on. You come whether they're just like friends or whether they're like there's something going on between the two of them. Yeah. Like it had that weird energy because they were very familiar, but it could just be because they were friends. But I don't know. When I started to see the storyline developing, the weird love triangle, and I was like, oh, this checks out actually. Because she's very protective of him and she says that a lot on the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, super protective of him, which would incline you to think there's something going on there.
There's, like everyone was throwing around at the end the fact that they had hooked up and they were potentially still hooking up and it was very weird. I don't know if Stav knew anything about that and the fact that, you know, Stav proposed and Nathan was there, which weird one for him, like Sarah leaves and Elle gets engaged so he loses both his girls in the same night, which is a rough go for him. But I thought it was really nice that Elle even said, I'm glad Nathan has been such a good friend. And that's nice. That's nice to hear because, you know, it's always good to have a friend who gets behind you, you know, takes you with both hands, really takes care of you, gentle lover, I mean, friend.
I'm going to turn off your microphone in a minute, Lockie.
Yeah, look.
I can't see Nathan being like the page boy at their wedding, though. That would have been funny, though.
But he can be like the flower girl.
The ring bearer.
He might do like an objection. I object. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Actually, Elle, I'm going to come around the back and have a chat.
He's like, oi, oi, guys, someone called me a fuckboy again. I just...
I'm not trying to make this about me, guys, but seriously, you called me a fuckboy.
If you just got to know me better, like, that was my favourite part. I just thought him and Elias were going to hook up because he just kept saying, you ought to get to know me better. And it just sounds like he's saying, wine and dine me.
Yeah, I would have shipped that. Those two as a couple.
Okay, I just feel like as well the proposal was pretty orcs. Like if someone proposed to me at a party in front of other people, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like it just seemed a bit povo and I don't even know if there was a ring as well.
Yeah, he did, but he didn't have a box for it. He just pulled it out of his pocket. You know what it looked like? It looked like one of the producers was behind Elle mirroring, like showing him how to do it. Like Stav was just kind of like, one knee? One, and I hold it up to her and she wears the ring. I don't wear the ring. It looked very awkward.
I can tell you, I knew most of the storylines that were happening on the show. The engagement was something that even the producers had no idea was happening. And you can tell by how awkwardly it comes across because it's not something that was like arranged.
Yeah.
It happened on their own volition. They did it and no one had any idea. That's why there's only like one camera shot of it. Like it was, that's why everyone looked shocked because no one saw it coming.
Yeah. For a moment that should be that big, it felt very quick.
Maybe he just wanted to save money on like having someone film the proposal.
Yeah, true. Videographers are expensive.
That's what he's doing the TV show, hey? And just clip that on the Netflix episode and download it. He's
gonna take a screenshot for your proposal announcement.
He's going to be upset when there's 15 seconds of footage of his proposal.
Well, they're not together now. Big surprise.
What? Oh, all right, what? Hold on. Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. Drop crystal moment. Yeah. They're not together anymore.
What happened?
Oh, like I know, Del. They're just not together anymore. Like I did an interview with Hannah, Elle and myself. Yeah, just had to relive that for a moment. the interviewer asked her at the end of the interview whether they were together, and she said, no, we've just lived our lives separately. She's living in Monaco and he's in, I don't know, some island somewhere.
Magnetic Island.
The home of the magnets. So they didn't work out.
Oh. So she's living in Monaco now.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's a bit random. Isn't it like Gwyneth Paltrow, like, and conscious uncoupling. I think it was that, babe.
Yeah. Yeah, her and Nathan had a small entanglement. We want to go for the red room version of this.
I know, it was a weird moment. Like, I remember when the proposal happened, I was looking at, like, the rest of the cast going, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
Because it was random.
So this is that episode was just kind of had to end with them as well.
Yeah, and you got free fireworks out of it.
Yeah, true. Like,
that's a plus.
That was a weird event because, like you said, I didn't even know it was about the tequila. I was purely just watching it going, everyone's just hanging out and Nathan calling Sarah. Was she seeing his phone calls and not answering or was that just...
She'd gone. Like, she came, like the night of Nathan's event.
She'd gone.
She left.
What time did she leave?
She came to my office at like... 3 in the afternoon and I went straight from my office to the event.
Right.
So she was literally packed up and she like for reals went back to the GC. She was living in Bangalore and she'd packed up everything because that was like the last day she was like, I am really done.
She bounced. She did what you could never do.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
She generally like did have feelings for him though. And I think that there was something real between the two of them because it started from day dot, like – it started from the first day. Even she had her eye on him. Like she mentioned to me on and off camera, yeah, he's cute. Like I think there's something there.
What was it about him that drew her in?
I think that he was very open and welcoming. And I think if you look at the rest of the cast, they weren't. And I think he was just warm to her. And he's a fun guy to be around. He is a party boy. Like he is someone who. You know, he is a people person. He's good around people. And I think that Sarah was drawn to that. Like if you're an outsider and you come to a place where it's a tight-knit community and someone's being open and inviting, like you're attracted to that. And I think that's where their relationship started. So interesting to see what happens after
the show. Do you think they've had any contact with each other since?
I know they both live on the Gold Coast.
Oh, so he's gone to the Gold Coast now. He's really going after her.
Well... yeah.
Season 2 coming soon.
Season 2, just put
it on
the Gold
Coast.
Will
there be a season 2?
Burley Bays. I hope not.
Would you do it?
I'm pretty happy with like what my first season. Like it made sense to me. I'm pretty happy with it. I liked it. I don't know if I'd have to be in a different headspace to what I am in right now to do it. If they do a season 2, yeah, like I can't go on for another season hating everyone. Yeah.
I think
I've got to make one extra friend, I guess.
Potentially what they could do, if they do a season 2, they bring back the cast, maybe a couple of new people, 4 episodes in, whatever, everything's going to shit and Sarah's getting upset, you suddenly hear Alex's entrance music. The Darth Vader theme song comes on, Alex enters, he's holding Sarah's keyboard to remind her of her roots.
And then takes everyone out with it.
Yeah, exactly.
He starts smashing heads with a 400-kilo keyboard.
He's hitting people, yelling out their insights and their statistics. 45% American audience, 38%
Turkey. You are
loving
the villain vibes, aren't you?
Well...
it's more fun.
Yeah, pretty much.
Made for this.
I mean, but the thing is, people who watch these kind of shows back and say, I got edited unfairly... usually it's not the case. It's just people who aren't very self-aware of what they are. Like sometimes when you get a mirror put up to yourself showing you who you are, sometimes you don't recognize it. And I think that was the case for a lot of the cast who were like, I'm not like that. It's like, well, actually, yes, you are. And for me, when I saw it, I was like, I expected it because it's everything I said and I knew what I was doing. And yeah, I know who I am. So everything I said, that if you know me as a person – all those one-liners and the stupid shit I say is something I say every single day. It's not different for me.
Yeah, you make fun of my height all the time. It's really fun. Before we head off, Alex, is there anything for all the people who booed you through their screens or the people who cheered for you through their screens, is there anything you want to say to them?
Just that it's real. Like that was exactly who I am and that show to me is pretty accurate representation. So if you loved the cast on the show, you will love them in real life. And if you thought they were painful on the show, then guess what? You're going to fucking hate them in real life too.
Mm-hmm. Very insightful.
But yeah, to the three people who liked me on the show, hi to all three of you.
Fanella, Star and me.
Yeah, actually. Yeah,
they're all in the room.
They're also on the payroll. So yeah, that's exactly. Probably not too good.
Are there any Alex Reid fan pages out there on Instagram or hate pages?
No, I only made my Instagram public 2 weeks after the show launched. Just because I was holding out.
Have you enjoyed becoming a meme?
I have actually. those terrible Netflix photos they sent me. I was legit got them and I was like, yeah, this is heinous.
Didn't you have to reshoot some of the content?
I refused to. I just didn't do any of the marketing or PR.
Main character energy coming out of the studio here today. Well, guys, thank you for listening. We will have one final episode coming for you next week, which will be a bit of a season recap.
Don't cry because it's over. Cry because it happened, which is really important, guys, because we're as sad as you are that it's coming to an end. Not as much as Alex, who obviously was trying to leave after the first episode.
And trying to leave this podcast now, by the looks of it, it's dragging on. She's got a couple of Google Meets to get to, Dale.
I mean, Star did it on our first episode as well, so I totally understand. But we'd just like to thank you for coming all the way down the hallway into the studio to come talk to us, release a little bit of tea, telling us about the show, and just being yourself. And thank you for entertaining us on the show as well.
Look, you're welcome.
Alex, I was wondering, do you want to do another podcast with me? Because I wanted to drop Lockie because he's just not up to standard.
Well, if you dropped him, Dale, you probably still wouldn't see him.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Byron Bay.
Shocking.
Alex, give me a brandy.